ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Every year, Australians are told to fly abroad for cancer treatment.
We need this bloody machine.
Then, an exciting pitch.
A proton therapy centre, first of its kind in Australia.
But is it happening?
No one's raising $50 million on Facebook.
This bloody machine, a new investigation. Search Background Briefing Podcast on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
When a billionaire descends on a small, struggling regional town promising to save an industry and hundreds of jobs, why wouldn't the residents grab the opportunity with both hands? Well, that's what the people of Whyalla did as they fought to save the South Australian town's historic steelworks. Today, former Media Watch host Paul Barry, author of The Big Steel, on his investigation into how it all went so wrong. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Sanjeev Gupta, he's a British Indian billionaire living sometimes in Sydney. Tell me about him.
Well, probably no longer a billionaire, except that he owes billions of dollars, and probably no longer in Sydney in that he appears to have skipped the country and gone to the United States. But yes, certainly he has lived in Sydney for six or seven of the last few years, and his family have been here and his kids have been at school in Sydney. He's a steel tycoon who borrowed billions of dollars and bought steelworks all around the world. They all went bust. Mm. He owes billions of dollars, and yet he is still rich.
Now, you have written a whole book about him because he has had, Paul, an enormous impact on the social fabric of the South Australian town, Whyalla. His association with that town began in 2017. So let's rewind to then and tell me what was happening.
Yeah, well, the Whyalla Steelworks was in administration. It had gone bust.
About 3,000 jobs are in jeopardy at the steelworks, with many thousands more at risk at businesses which rely on the plant.
It had been limping along for a year in administration, and there were a couple of potential buyers. Sanjeev Gupta was one of them. He wasn't the first choice, but he did have ready cash, and he came in at the last moment and he was awarded the deal.
The clouds of uncertainty have cleared and a new era has dawned on Whyalla. REM has gone and the city's steelworks have been liberated.
He made all sorts of promises about how he would invest billions of dollars in improving the steelworks, modernising it, expanding it, and then on renewable energy like solar farm and green hydrogen. And he kept on repeating these promises again and again and again.
Our short to medium-term plans see us investing well over $1 billion here. There are longer-term plans which could be far more exciting, far more grand in terms of steel capacity here.
The residents of the town were just relieved that he was there, right? Because hundreds of jobs were on the line.
Absolutely. I mean, steelworks is an enormous enterprise. And in a town which has a steelworks, almost always the town depends on that steelworks for its lifeblood. And so Gupta was welcomed all around the world as the saviour of steel because he was coming in and buying these businesses, which were all in a pretty poor state because of cheap Chinese steel and Korean steel and Vietnamese steel flooding the market. And he offered hope. He offered saving jobs, saving the town, and then investing in this glorious future in which Western manufacturing industry would, you know, be revitalized and the planet would be helped because he'd turn the industry green by powering it with renewable energy. So it was a dream that people wanted to believe in.
And he was as well embraced by the press at the time. He gave a number of interviews, federal and state politicians. They were singing his praises too. According to the mayor at the time, he was the saviour of steel.
Look, it's fantastic that Mr. Gupta's come in, backed this up, and it's just an amazing event for Whyalla, and we've got a great future ahead of us with this company, I'm sure.
High praise.
That's right, and that was a common slogan that he attracted, and he was very keen to embrace it. He said the town had adopted him and it was his spiritual home. He loved playing the role of Messiah. And wherever he went, he was, you know, showered with this hope and praise, both from the media and from politicians, and obviously, of course, from the workers and the townsfolk.
Today's announcement really brings some positivity back to a community that was facing such an uncertain future.
Really good news, and I think a lot of people around town probably thought the same.
I was a little bit excited. I'm hoping it's a bit more positive for myself and probably all the other businesses in Whyalla, and of course...
When he came into Whyalla in 2017, he was welcomed by a parade of steelworkers and politicians who marched up the main street with him with lots of flags and a bagpiper at the head of it, dressed in a kilt. And, you know, so it was just an incredible festive occasion, and everyone was talking about it as a miracle and wonderful and just marvellous that this guy had come in to save them.
This is the spirit of Whyalla, which allowed this town and these steelworks to survive the dark days.
And as you mentioned, he was really into steelworks because it wasn't just Whyalla that he invested in.
No, he bought probably 24 companies around the world, most of which were steelworks, some of which were engineering, fabrication, but, you know, based on steel. And he also bought a couple of aluminium smelters and a couple of hydroelectric power stations up in the north of Scotland. His promise was to turn it green, to turn them round, to invest huge amounts of money. And he made the same promises wherever he went, which I don't think any of the locals in any of these particular places realised that he was just going around and making the same, trotting out the same line to everyone. But I mean, he was promising probably in total to spend $40 or $50 billion, and he didn't have any money. So it was completely ridiculous. All his money was borrowed, and it was borrowed from a fringe bank on very dodgy terms.
Yeah, all right. And tell me about this relationship he had with Lex Greensill.
Well, the mainstream banks were not prepared to lend to the steel industry, and they certainly weren't prepared to lend to Gupta because he had no experience in running steelworks. So he was buying steelworks that all the big companies like Tata and the Chinese ones were selling because they couldn't make a go of it. So he was coming in and paying big money for these places quite often, and the banks wouldn't lend it to him, so he had to get that from somewhere. And he basically got it, almost all of it, from a fringe bank in the UK set up by an Australian sugarcane and melon farmer from Queensland, from Bundaberg, a guy called Lex Greensill. How on earth a guy from Bundaberg ends up running or owning a fringe bank in London is an incredible story. But he started off as a lawyer, then a banker, and then he set up his own business supplying what was called supply chain finance. And that's basically funding companies that have sold something but haven't yet been paid, and they want to bring that payment forward. So it's supposed to be short term, it's supposed to be secured by actual sales of goods, and that was the basis on which he was supposedly raising all this money and lending all this money. But in fact, he was lending it to Gupta, who wasn't really making all those sales and certainly wasn't having it short term and was losing a whole heap of money. So it was a disastrous enterprise, really. But they relied on each other. Gupta got almost all his money from Greensill. Greensill lent almost all his money to Gupta.
Wow. Okay, and then by 2025, it all came crashing down.
That's right. Amazing that it didn't happen long before that, because Greensill went bust in 2021, spectacularly bust, and Gupta couldn't repay the loans, and so the creditors all came after him, and he spent 4 years managing to fight them off. Eventually, South Australian politicians and the workers got fed up with promises that weren't being kept. The bills to creditors were mounting to hundreds of millions of dollars. People were going bust because Gupta hadn't paid them. And eventually the South Australian government decided, well, that's enough. We've got to get rid of this guy if the town is to have any sort of future at all. And they passed emergency legislation through Parliament in conditions of great secrecy and then kicked him out in February 2025. Mm. And so he lost Whyalla. He's also lost a couple of other Australian businesses since then.
All right. Well, Paul, let's step back for a moment and consider whether perhaps there were any red flags missed and why it was that politicians in particular trusted that the Whyalla Steelworks were in good hands with Sanjeev Gupta. Now, just tell me, did any politician at any point or anybody else question where the money might be coming from?
I think the media in the United Kingdom got onto the problem fairly quickly. Around about 2017, 2018, they were saying, how on earth is Gupta going to make a success of businesses where the major steel companies want to get out and haven't been able to make them work? I think also they started looking at Greensill, and they figured out that Greensill, the fringe bank, was very flimsy and was getting its money in kind of very suspicious ways and apparently making a huge profit. So I think they were all very suspicious of Greensill. And I think those suspicions mounted as sort of various little crises hit. And the media, I think, from 2018, 2019, were absolutely aware of what Greensill and Gupta were doing. But somehow in this country, no one seemed to be looking at what was happening overseas until far too late. So it's really quite extraordinary.
Yeah, that's the incredible part of it. I mean, what about people who invested their money in this? Surely they've lost a lot.
Well, the people who invested money were essentially putting their savings or their pensions or whatever into a bank in Germany called Greensill Bank, or Credit Suisse in Switzerland, which is a Swiss bank, or Global Asset Management, which is so basically all people who were entrusting their savings to wealth managers. Those wealth managers were then passing on the money to Greensill, and he was passing on the money to Gupta and blokes like Gupta. Well, the insurers eventually walked away because they discovered what was happening, and that's what brought Greensill down. And the people who lent money to Greensill have essentially lost, I don't know, $8 billion, wow. $5 billion, who knows? But some of that has been met by German taxpayers or Swiss taxpayers or British taxpayers or by the bank, but people have also actually lost physical money.
Well, Paul, as we said, the Steelworks, Whyalla Steelworks, was placed into the hands of administrators in 2025. So just tell me what is happening now.
Well, for the last 18 months, the Steelworks at Whyalla have been run by Cordamenta, who are a firm of insolvency accountants. They have invested a fair bit of money. They've got the company running again. The Steelworks has suffered from a massive lack of investment. So everything is falling apart, held together by bits of, you know, string and rubber bands. The blast furnace is basically too old and it needs, the furnace needs relining, and it breaks down and then can't be restarted. That happened only a couple of weeks ago again. And so it's limping along, but they do have people who want to buy the enterprise, and that's for two reasons. First, because the government has promised to put in about $2 billion, some coming from federal, some coming from South Australia. And there's also a massive mineral resource of magnetite iron ore in the nearby Middleback Ranges near Whyalla, and that is very valuable. And it's also very good for making low carbon emission steel, which is where the industry will have to go. So big international steel companies are looking at this and going, that's a very valuable deposit. We're prepared to take on the steelworks on the basis that we get our hands on that deposit and on the basis that we get some government money to ease the pain. So that's very, very close to happening.
Right, so the residents of Whyalla, they could, I guess, be saved in the end. I mean, they could have a good outcome, because this would have been a rather large tragedy, I would have thought, for the town.
Yes, I think 2/3 of the jobs in the town depend on the steelworks. It's a lovely place, Whyalla. It's up the top of the Spencer Gulf, where all the cuttlefish certainly used to go, not quite so many, and swarm in the winter. So the tourists go there to look at that. It's a beautiful place, right on the edge of the desert. New town laid out in the 1960s. Very, very pretty. Lovely people. If the steelworks went bust, the town, I think, would be finished. But the problem is that the new steelworks is going to be probably 3 or 4 years away. And will the old steelworks still keep on functioning until then? Probably bits of it won't. So jobs will probably be lost, even though maybe the whole town, the town's future will be saved. So we still don't quite know what's going to happen, but yes, certainly there is now some sort of future for Whyalla, whereas when Gupta was running it, it was looking very, very bleak indeed, because it looked like he was going to run the steelworks into the ground.
All right, and Sanjeev Gupta, as you said, he's not in Australia anymore, but will he be held accountable?
Well, there's a whole bunch of regulators or corporate cops around the world who are investigating him. He's being investigated in Romania for alleged fraud and money laundering. He's being investigated in the UK for alleged fraud and money laundering. He's being investigated here by the Australian Securities and Investment Commission for allegedly trading while insolvent. And the French are also investigating him. So there's a whole bunch of people who are trying to bring charges against him. Whether those will ever happen and whether he will then, if they do happen, be extradited to the place where they want to put him on trial, and whether he would then be convicted, who knows? But there are certainly teams of people who feel that what he has done is most likely illegal and should be punished, and we'll have to see how that goes.
Paul Barry is the author of The Big Steal, How Steel Tycoon Sanjeev Gupta Fooled Australia and the World. This episode was produced by Ilaria Brophy. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is Sydney Peed. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.